B'machanot ha'ashmada.
Cantor Joseph Malovani delivers a searing memorial prayer from the UN's main podium, damning the Nazis and their helpers.
Auschwitz, Birkenau, Treblinka.
The powerful voice of New York's Fifth Avenue Synagogue invokes the names of the extermination camps where millions of Jews were murdered during World War II. The ambassadors of Israel and Germany joined the UN's most senior officials to remember the 6 million Jews and others who were systematically wiped out, with a focus on the power of education to ensure the world never forgets. But the most awe-inspiring and personal testimony of the morning came from Eva Lavie, who was joined in the hall by her daughter and grandson from Israel. Eva was born in Poland and only two when the Second World War broke out in 1939. She came to fulfill a lifelong sense of purpose in front of the world.
When I go with pupils to the camps in Poland and imagine thousands of my brother Jews marching to their deaths, I wonder why God saved me. Perhaps he wanted me to do something big, and I am only an ordinary woman. No special achievements. But now, when I am here, talking from the United Nations, this is the big something that God planned for me.
With other survivors and war veterans who'd helped liberate the camps looking on, former judge at the International Court of Justice, Thomas Bergenthal, also bore witness to the brutal truth of the Holocaust that he too lived through.
The Holocaust was not just a Jewish tragedy. It was a tragedy of universal significance. All humanity was its victim. Unless this truth is recognized and acknowledged, the Holocaust will be treated as a Jewish problem only, thereby diminishing the universal character and significance of the human tragedy it was. In remembering the Holocaust, the world must forever be warned against its repetition in the guise of comparable crimes that continue to threaten mankind.
Genocides continue today, he warned, specifically noting the plight of Myanmar's Rohingya and mainly Muslim minority who fled to Bangladesh to escape systematic slaughter.
In my opinion, the root causes of genocide must be sought in the failure of parents, schools, religious institutions and universities to effectively and forcefully advocate for respect and tolerance of all human beings of whatever group, regardless of how they look, speak, or differ from one another.
Eva Lavie moved to Israel in the late 40s, having lived back in her native Poland for a few years right after the war. She's a proud mother of two and has three grandchildren. In recent years, she's become an active member of Yad Vashem, the World Holocaust Remembrance Center. She's shared her truth and her testimony many times and graciously agreed to do so again in our Lid Is On studio here at UN headquarters.
My name is Eva Lavie. I was born in Krakow in Poland. When the World War started, I was 2 years old. When it finished, I was 8 years old.
Just describe to our listeners what it was like for Jews living in Poland when the war broke out, when the Second World War broke out in 1939.
I was 2 years old. I was with my family. I was an only child. They spoiled me. They loved me. Everything was good. They were a very young couple. Really, it started their lives. We were very good connection with the Polish people and no problem.
But what happened to you and your family when war broke out? And talk about the special role of your
ghetto,
mother, Felicia.
Ghetto.
You were sent to the ghetto.
All of us, ghetto. Terrible. That was a district for Polish poor people. You fall from up, down. My grandfather and grandmother, they killed them immediately because they were too old. They were 55, okay? They need people that work.
So how did you survive? What did your mother tell you in order to help to get you through those nightmare yes. years as a family? Yes.
She understood what's going on. She looked even if of our neighbor, you know, informants like this. People are people.
It's danger everywhere.
She said, everything is dangerous. You know, everybody wants to kill you. You don't believe to anyone, only father and me. That's all. I did it.
You told an extraordinary story earlier. I'd like you to tell again about how your father sat you down as a family with some cyanide pills at one point.
He loved my mother very much. They were a young couple and they loved each other all their lives. All the things that I saw, the one beautiful girl, she goes down, they told her to take all the clothes and they laughed. And when an old man fall from the stairs, they give him a clap again. It was bestial things. You never forget it because they ask, how do you know when you were 2 years old? This I know, this you remember. So I don't wonder that my father thought about it. He was a honorable man.
But your mother stopped your father from... Yes. From you all committing suicide?
Because she was optimistic. Because my father also believed in God, but he is a pessimist. But she was optimistic. I think regretfully, I tell you by secret, I think that I am like my father. I am pessimistic. I don't believe.
You said earlier that you hadn't no childhood. In a way, you became a cynical old person because of
yes.
what you had to go
all,
through.
All of the children that I know and the stories that I had after, all of them knew everything. Don't forget that I told you that everything was so close, one with another. The small children saw sex. We were old.
And you also had to watch some of your own relatives die.
Yes. I don't want to tell it again. My twin cousins, it's here all the time. One Eva, one Halinka.
And yet you've made a decision that it's important to share these things that you witnessed.
Yes. My uncle, he was really so bright and he prepared everything and everything was paid and everything was done. And no, so it makes me pessimistic. And I'm an only child till now. So I don't have very big family. They were my family.
And so how was it that you and your family ended up on Oskar Schindler's famous list?
Yes.
And were able, therefore, to escape the concentration camps?
We went to Brinitz. Somebody told us that I finished the war at Auschwitz. No, I finished in Brinitz.
And when you say Brinitz, that's the factory
Czechoslovakia.
In Czechoslovakia.
Schindler, after many, many, many crawls and everything, we are going to his factory. Men alone, they went to Grossrosen, and now we are women, 300 women in a cattle trucks.
Yeah.
But we are so happy that we are living. We are going out, we are going to Schindler's factory. And after a very short time, the railway stopped. They looked through there.
Through the slats, yeah.
Through the slats, and they started to went crazy. They cried, it was hysteric, everything. And down, Raus. German policewomen or soldiers, they slept here, there, out, no. Okay, they are in barrack. They say, okay, you go to take a shower. You saw it in the film exactly, I don't have to tell.
In the film
Everything
Schindler's
true.
List. Yeah.
True. They came back happy that it was not gas. We were sure. We say one to the other, bye, we are going to die, and so, okay. But one morning, one of the Austrians came, and to whom she went? To my little mother. And she said, I need your daughter. You need my daughter? Why? I need your daughter. My mother always was cool, but now he was hysteric and full faint and no, hold me. So the one, perhaps because my mother was small and delicate, she told her, don't worry, I am going to take her to Kinderheim, which is a very good one. My mother didn't believe a word. She knew. No, don't take her from me. Believe me. And if you don't believe me, you know, tomorrow morning you will look up at the hill and you will see your daughter healthy and okay. My mother didn't believe. But she has no, they took me. Okay. I went with her. And to tell the truth, look, and my mother saw that I was there standing in beautiful clothes. All the children were clean, good, well-looking, and beautifully dressed, and sad. No family, no nothing. Sad and hungry. Europe was hungry. Even the Germans were hungry. Everyone was hungry, nothing grows, you know. I saw that we received something to eat, not to die. You know, not too much, but... So I eat, I made friends with some girl and this, and she told me, we are hungry, I will take you out. She took me out to a little garden. It was November, I think, very cold, and everything was with ice. And we found potato, growing potato, with leaves, with everything. We clean it and we eat it. We went back again, we received, but one day, one evening, we received something that looked like a proper dinner, not dinner, but swollen bellies, but happy. We went to sleep with a full belly. Get up in the morning, another surprise. We have something like that looked like breakfast. Another. We were full, but perhaps the war is over. We have to eat, you know.
You must have been very confused by what was happening.
Completely confused. And then lunch. Full. Now, it was tablecloths and plates and everything that looks very good. My mother told me, because you have to hide all the time, you don't cry, never. You don't shout for me that you want something from me. You are not visible.
That's how you survived.
So I didn't cry all this. 6 years, I didn't cry, I didn't do, So, we sit. Three nice men come in, civil clothes, talking with us. And I, like, paralyzed. I feel the smell of roasted potato. This I like till today. Okay.
Must have been like heaven.
Like heaven. And it comes near, okay, so, but I can't eat. I am full here. I am angry. And I try one, the first tear in my, in the war. For the roasted potato. And he asked me, the man, why don't you eat, Kleine? I say, I am not hungry. And for this sentence, it was the farsa.
It was a farce.
Red Cross, what they want the Jews. Here in Birkenau, Auschwitz, sit, look fine, clean, play, and not hungry. All Europe is hungry, but they are not hungry. Everything is
so
wonderful.
So the gas chambers, everything, all the horrors were hidden.
No, not interesting. Everyone is lying, you see.
There's another story, isn't there, in terms of Oskar Schindler, personally intervening to ensure that you were able to go to Czechoslovakia?
Yes, the Thin Fingers. Yes. You know, they called the names, Eva Ratz. So they give the general, Schindler, what do you mean? No, she's going to Schindler. Schindler was genius. He has answer for everything in 1 minute. You show the Thin Fingers? I coached her how to clean a special name of a bomb.
So you were invaluable for his factory. That was the argument that he used to persuade the Nazis to let you go.
Nobody worked over there after, but we are not talking about it.
He was...
No. So you all owe him your lives, but especially, I guess, he had to argue for yours.
Yes.
Yeah. Are there any other memories you have of him? Or
In the movie, there was another girl. It was Danka. I met Spielberg many times. I have his... And he explains that when he did it, he couldn't book everyone his... mother, daughter. Okay, this will be the stereotype that they will use. No, I have no problem.
The Israeli ambassador, Danny Denon,
yes,
said earlier that we all need to unlock our inner Schindler, all of us. We all need to find in ourselves our own compassion, like Schindler displayed. Do you think we all have that in us?
I don't know what to say. He was special. He was special, and I think it started at his heart when he saw what's going on in the ghetto. I don't know, but Schindler was for us very, very good. I think that this, what I want to tell you now, I don't think everyone knew. Before the war finished, our committee from Brindisi took Schindler in a jeep to the American border, not border, you know, the districts that were after the war.
Yeah.
But before this, Schindler knew what's going on. So he prepared a kit bag for everyone. For everyone, a kit bag after the war.
A kit bag?
Yes, yeah. It was so. Yeah. And the blanket was not to make clothes. Whiskey, to sell it for to receive bread. What he put there, he prepared.
He was thinking about your futures, trying to keep you alive.
All the 1,200 people. I don't know if I will do it, but I am not Schindler. And many people say that he was so and so and so because people are people, and I am pessimistic, so I know what people think. Okay.
You think of yourself as a realist?
A realist? Yes. No. When it opens, it was not gas, but shower. I was optimistic. It's a wonder.
And what's it meant to you to come to UN headquarters today and to play such a central part in the Holocaust memorial event?
I didn't tell it usually, but I said it, that after the war, my life was not easy because I was survivor, child survivor, and others didn't have. So I didn't go with my parents when they went to meetings because they didn't want to, I don't know how to tell it, not in English and not in Polish.
They didn't want to make the others feel bad?
Of course.
Other parents who'd lost their children?
Yes, they say, stay away. I thought that I'm guilty.
Survivor's guilt?
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Not all the survivors think that they were guilty, but I was sure that I'm guilty because not this, not this. I didn't tell. And then I start to think why he didn't save the other children.
God.
God, yes, of course. I am with God like friends. Why he saved me? And then I think perhaps he wants that I will do something that will be good. I don't know. I called it something big, that I will do something big. I read about the judge, and he has so many achievements. What I can say, I am an ordinary woman. Why he should save me? They save him, I understand. But why he should save me? I am nothing. And then I said, okay, because I come here, and I tell my story to all the world, because UN is an old world, I did something big.
So you feel a real sense of achievement?
Yes.
Coming here today,
yes,
and talking truthfully and bluntly about your extraordinary survival.
I did it also in Israel, in Yad Vashem, I told you. But this is all over the world. I wanted to do it, not because I wanted to come to New York, because I was many times in New York.
And as time goes on, of course, sadly, the generation that did live through Auschwitz and lived through the Second World War is getting smaller. Is it more important now than ever to tell your story, even though obviously
of course, because of this, I agreed to come. It was not easy for me. I don't have any money or anything from this. Here, nothing. You know, I did it voluntarily, everything. In Yad Vashem and here, because I owe it to God.
Judge Bergenthal said this morning that it was important not to think of this just as an outrage and a genocide against Jews only, that genocide is something that is a human tragedy. Do you agree with that? When you look at the Rohingyas and
everything
the Yazidis?
Everything that he says, I agree, I adore him. I read at home, in Google, a long time of all his achievements, and I adore him. And I told him, before, I told him that he's a great man.
And do you think that the education programs, they're trying to make sure that the generations that are coming through, to make sure that they don't forget, are they doing enough?
Yes.
Is there enough urgency?
No, nothing is enough. When I said that I did my best to do it, my boss said, yes, but your best is not enough. Okay, so to say, whatever we will do, it's not enough because the people in the world are not... it was some, you know, the Holocaust made something. But you see, what's going in Poland? I can't understand what they want.
I mean, are you hopeful that the message will eventually get through more powerfully and it will stop these genocides from taking place in the future?
I mean, I don't know what to think now about the Polish people that, you know, they make the new law that... What
you're concerned about rising anti-Semitism?
Yeah, of course, no. First of all, there's one thing, they are right. There were no camps, Polish camps. No, only German. Everyone agree. But to say that the Polish people were all saints, no, really, really. There were people that were informants, there were people that killed, there were people that... But also I have many friends that Polish people hide them. You know, they can be killed or their family. And the friends that I know, they sent till now to the grandchildren of the Poland people money and everything because they deserve it. They were very good people in Poland. After the war, we also live in a house of Polish people, and they were fantastic, and they were my friends.
Eva Lavi, thank you very much for your time and for coming into
thank
the studio
you
today
your...
to talk to us and for
yes.
coming to the UN.
Thank you.
Eva Lavi, the youngest survivor on Oskar Schindler's list, one of around 1,100 Jews of all ages who history suggests would not have lived without him cleverly shielding them from the Holocaust. You've been listening to The Lid Is On, a podcast series from UN News. I'm Matt Wells, and if you want to know more about the UN's Holocaust Outreach Programme and find out how the organisation's working to improve the understanding of genocide and what you can do to help, go to www.un.org/en/Holocaust Remembrance.